folks before you, all in which you are at work in various ways, some in which you are drawing them to yourself out of slavery to sin and into the light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would know and be led by your Spirit in how to speak and how to care appropriately in step with your Holy Spirit. Father, sometimes, as we will see in Exodus, that it is through the groanings and the sufferings that we cry out to you. And it is at that place where we cry out, where you draw us to yourself as your Holy Spirit has worked to enable us even to cry out. And Father, I pray that if there be those things where those sufferings are leading to drawing a person to Christ, may we come alongside and encourage and bless and help them to hear and know the problem with sin and brokenness in this world and the glory of Christ who entered this brokenness. Help us to know when to serve and how to serve, but recognize that you do all things well. So we pray for Teresa, the single mom, and we pray that you would work in her life as she is connected to this church in Bunker Hill. We're so grateful for that. We pray that you would use that church to grow her in Christ in the midst of the realities of her life. Thank you for using Janet in her life, and thank you for the avenue that Janet has as she meets many, many people. And I pray that as she sits and sometimes quietly, I pray that you would use her mightily in reaching people who are lost and needing help, not simply in the library to find a book, but who are being drawn there to find the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for Dar, that you would bring healing and that he would recognize and trust you, but also obey the wisdom that you've granted doctors and nurses. We thank you for Sean, Lord, that he is a man who came to recognize and hear and listen to two men of God as they shared the good news of the gospel. As David said, for David to hold back and listen to him and hear his story and to revel and recognize how you were at work in his life. We pray that he would come to trust in you through the power of the Holy Spirit as you open his eyes, that he may not be left in that place that if Christ was to come, that he would be judged, but that he would find Christ fulfilling that judgment upon the cross. I pray for my friends Chris and John and Charlie that you would be at work in them and that you would draw them to yourself and that you would use all means necessary to bring them to faith and trust in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we're thankful for what you're doing in our lives and in our church, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'll pass those out. As we think about reaching our community, as we think about the practical nature of declaring, displaying, and delighting in the glory of God through the His amazing grace in Christ, it's neat to hear these stories of connections that God is making, ways in which He is moving in our life, and I would ask us as we think about those in our life, that we would get a little bit particular. And I'm not suggesting that we pass out these cards, I hope that you'll use them as the Lord would lead. But as we think about evangelism, sometimes we think in a general manner, and sometimes we need to think specifically. And so begin by simply asking the Lord of two people that he's placed in your life who don't know the Lord. that are in your life. Now, I would ask you, though, your cousin who you meet every other Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving dinner for an hour, who is vulgar and crude, needs the Lord, but your connection with them is every other year, don't start there. They need the Lord, and I hope that the Lord reaches them. Think about your neighbor. Think about your classmates. Think about your coworkers. Think about people that you connect with in restaurants and businesses who are regular that God desires to use in your life. Maybe you don't have somebody in mind. And as you think about how am I to live out the gospel truth, how am I to display the gospel, how am I to declare the gospel, how am I to delight in it? David said after his conversation with Sean, he said, I didn't need a car to get home. I could have just floated home. He was just so joyous and excited, right? That's delight, isn't it? That's delight. And the delight comes from as God in his mercy and grace uses us. It isn't a compartmentalized, oh, reach them, but don't work in me. He's working in us to be like Christ in their life, that they might come to know Christ. That's the goal. And so think about two people. Who is God placed on your heart or in your life who are not followers of Christ, who are not believers, and who does God want you to just put there? Now you might say, "Well, I have so many. I don't really need to write down two." But I would like to ask us to think about those cultivating relationships, and then as we go through the Sunday school class, you'll begin to recognize some of the areas of how we develop relationship and how we work on that. That's what this part of this class is about. And one of the things that we've been looking at is what are the thresholds, is what this author calls them, or what are the barriers that come in the way between people coming to know Christ? And one of the things that we've been talking about is learning to trust Christians. Well, we just kind of think that's an easy one. No, it isn't. We don't trust Christians. $50 says that there are people in your life who are followers of Jesus who you just don't trust. Because, frankly, you don't care for them. They're a hindrance to you. Now, if that's true for the body of Christ, and I would say, I would hope that it wouldn't be, but it is. If we look and think honestly in our life, how much of a hindrance might that be to a non-believer who has a stilted view of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and that they may never get to Christ in the gospel because the hindrance is people who wear Christ badly, including us, right? So the first thing is learning to develop and trust a Christian. The second is becoming curious. David mentioned that. Here's this man. And sometimes this is not weeks or months or days. Sometimes it could be within a block. It goes from here to become curious. Well, tell me more about this. Because boy, I'm beginning to recognize a need in my heart, and I'm wanting to know more. They're not at a place maybe of faith, but they're curious. Speak more to me about this. We see this in Acts chapter 17 when Paul comes to Athens. It says, some believed and some say we want to hear more. Come back. And others sneered and mocked. Those are three great responses to the gospel that we should expect. There'll be some who don't believe and who jeer and mock. And we need to be careful. We don't necessarily shake the dust off our feet in that at that point in time, but we should expect that. Why would somebody who's not regenerate, who isn't a follower of Christ, necessarily desire the things of God? Actually, they're rebellious. They're enemies of God, right? And I don't say that in a way that, hey, whoa, look at us, we're so much better. We were once that, weren't we? We shouldn't be surprised that some will mock and some will jeer the gospel. But some will be curious. And then what does it mean that they're open to change? Boy, I recognize that here are aspects of my life. It might start with, my life is messed up. I've known it for a long period of time. What does this God have to do with the issues and the problems that I'm dealing with? Now, they may come from a practical vantage point, saying, I want this fixed. God might be working in a whole different realm in their life. So it's okay if they say, I want this fixed. It's not a bad thing. But how God might be working might say, I am open to change. I recognize and see patterns. I recognize and see the places where God is opening my eyes to see that I need to change. Now, that change isn't going to come from self-help or yeah, you can be a better person. It comes from the gospel. But it's a beginning step and point. And then they begin to seek after God. They begin to say, I want to know more about Christ. I want to know more about what Christ is, because I am beyond curious now. I want to explore. Now, I'm not suggesting seeker-sensitive things. That's not the point at all. The point is what the Holy Spirit is doing in their life and how he's moving them towards a deeper, richer, fuller understanding of the gospel. And then finally, how do they enter the kingdom as the Holy Spirit brings him to a point of repentance and belief that only the Spirit of God can do. And we looked and we saw that they're entrusting Christians. Hopefully we can look at a mirror of ourselves. When I interact with people, how often is it me who gets in the way of the gospel? Now, I'm not saying that we're being mean or we're being obnoxious or whatever, but as we have these conversations, so there's belligerent conversations sometimes. Am I quick to defend? I get defensive. Do I easily get bruised? Which is so often true for a lot of us. Do I then avoid? And do I judge? And then do I argue? To the point that I've lost interest in the person, I'm more interested in whooping them and winning this argument. I want to be known as right. And if I have to go over their body to do so, so be it. Now, we would never say that. But I think sometimes in our relationships and conversations, we can get there. Now it's just a straight out debate. I've lost my heart for this person. And now I'm more interested in being seen as right. But in loving this person, I need to bring the gospel to them in ways that help them not to see just me, but to trust in the Lord. And so we need to be asking the Lord to awaken our hearts. So here are five kingdom habits to build as we think about learning to develop and build trust. As you looked at that last list, I can look right now and find myself in any number of those areas in my life. The earlier list. I can recognize them, I can see them, and sometimes those are rooted in brokenness and areas in our life that God needs to heal. Because they're not necessarily sin, but they're rooted in who I am, what I understand about my relationship with Christ, and how those things, Satan uses those to keep me from being effective in living the truth of the gospel out and helping others. And so, as you look at that last list, and I'll try to maybe photocopy these so that you can take them home. I should have thought of that earlier. Think about that. So what are five kingdom habits? Any friendship is built on trust that we must learn to develop, and habits that to build trust with non-believers. First of all is prayer. And we pray for them, but we also pray for ourselves. So in this relationship, we need to recognize that God is not finished with me, but in fact, he might be working as much in me in sanctification, in growing in Christ-likeness, in being a person who lives out the truth of the gospel as he is working in them. And that those things are not mutually exclusive. And so as he's working in them, he's working in me. Or maybe the means by which he's going to work in them is by first working in me to learn to grow in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ so that it's more like Jesus. So that I'm not being a hindrance. I'm not getting in the way. They see more of Christ than they see of them, of me. The men's group met yesterday morning, as we often do, and we were reading through Acts. Now, we've been through Genesis, and we jump from Genesis to Acts. And so we take a book of the Bible and read through it and discuss and talk. But I think it was Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And I said, this is really should be the theme verse of our men's group. And it is when Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin because they healed a lame man in the temple. You'll remember that story. They heal a lame man in the temple, and they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and this is what it says. The Sanhedrin recognized that these were ordinary, uneducated men. Common, ordinary, uneducated men. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. Wow. They were ordinary, uneducated, common men. Now, their degrees didn't get in their way. Their portfolio didn't get in their way. Their whatever, their address didn't get in their way. Their whatever didn't get in the way. They were stripped down, bare, ordinary, common, uneducated. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. What would that look like for us? Now, I can tell you that there are many times that I hide behind my Master of Divinity. Because I don't want to be seen as naked and ashamed. Right? And that gets in the way. Or sometimes it gets in the way because people come to me for answers. Like, I've got them. But they come to me for answers. Right? And I better have something. But they lose me in the translation. So we can hide behind any number of different things. So pray. Remember that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that changes hearts of men and not us. We need to ask the Spirit to do what we can and could never do. And then seek to follow the Holy Spirit. That following of the Holy Spirit, Galatians talks about be in step with the Spirit. Don't be ahead. Don't be behind. Stay in step with the Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. So pray. Second is learn. When we feel bruised, instead of licking our wounds, we can learn. Who are they? What makes them distrust me as a believer? Maybe it's not even me. Maybe it was the last Christian that they met. What makes them not trust? Maybe it was a dad who was a righteous elder of a church and beat their mom at the same time. And the church did nothing about it. And if you think that's a made-up story, it isn't. And they said, I don't want anything to do with that. What is it that keeps them from trusting? What is it that they have a faulty perception of Christians, of family? What's their personal history? What's their painful experiences? Can I listen? Can I empathize? Can I cry? Can I confess? Can I agree? Yeah, you're right. That is absolutely, wretchedly horrible. And I'm so sorry you had to experience that reality. But I can tell you that that has less to do with Christ than and more to do with that person. So learn, where's their heart? Where are they coming from? And how can you begin to value them? Third is create a bond. When we feel the desire to avoid, run away from, let's create a bond. We choose to bond instead. We become incarnational and we enter their world before we ask them to enter our world. Most Christians think this, evangelism is inviting them to church. No, evangelism as we see Jesus very rarely happened in the temple. Where did Jesus' evangelism happen? Name me some places. Walking along. Where else? The well. The well. At noon in the hot. Yes, where else? Dinner with sinners. Yes, at their home. Where else? Yeah. But give me occasions. Where else did it happen? It happened in a boat with a bunch of stinky fish. Right? A lot of things happened in that boat. Okay, it happened in front of a tomb. Right? It happened at a funeral. Where else? The wedding at Canaan. Oh, he made wine. Ooh, we don't talk about that. Well, we're Presbyterians, so we can. Baptists skip over that passage. No, I'm teasing. Right? Wow. He was always revealing himself. Mostly it was around dusty roads that all of that happened. It was incarnational. There was a bond with people where they were at. There wasn't an expectation of saying, I've set up shop in Nazareth, and if you want to come, come here. He was all over the place. And it's interesting, in Mark's gospel, we had a Dr. Beyer. My first year in seminary, he was on sabbatical, and he was writing a commentary on the book of Mark. And he was looking at the tribes of Israel, and one day in his devotions, as he was going through Mark, while he's writing a commentary on Mark, the Lord said, hey, trace out where Jesus went. So he took his map and he dotted out all the places that the Gospel of Mark said. And he noticed that he was going to all the tribes of Israel. And he reached all the tribes of Israel. Where they were geographically from the Old Testament, those are places where he met. Now he goes, I'm not sure if there's anything there, but I'm going to study that more and I'm going to present it. Right? Now one of Jesus' missions was to reach all the tribes of Israel. So it's not just haphazard. There is movement in direction. So create bonds. Create bonds over common things. Ice hockey. Movies. Books. Experiences. Hobbies. What other things? Anyone else? And then affirm. Affirm, get to know them, and find those areas in their life that you can affirm and commend as being reflections of the image of God. Now, this is not approval of lifestyle. Don't get that wrong. There's a profound difference between approving and affirming that which where they, as image bearers of God, reflect the glory of God. And I would suggest to us that there are times and places where our non-believing friends truly reflect the image of God sometimes better than us and our Christian friends. Now, that's not going to save them. We're not saying that at all. Oh, gather up all the places where you can affirm and say, oh, you're in. No, 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 no. This is a gateway. So if you're talking to an atheist and you said to them, boy, you reflect the image of God gloriously over here, it's going to mess them up. Because they're going to go, I don't even believe in God. How would I reflect his image? What are you talking about? Tell me more. This is what I see. Because each one of us are image bearers, right? Believers or not. It's not just believers who bear the image of God. Every person created bears the image of God, reflects that image in ways that give him glory, whether they think about that or not. So begin to look and begin to affirm the image of God. Paul says in Acts chapter 17, he says, hey, I see that you're religious in so many ways. What is he affirming? That they're religious, that they have a desire to know about God. And he goes, in fact, you're so religious that you covered your bases. There's an altar for an unknown God, and that which you do not know, I'm going to declare to you. It's a bridge. But he begins by saying, boy, you guys want to know a lot about God. Let me tell you how you can know God. Preaches the gospel and the resurrection. And then finally, welcome. Welcome. When we feel the temptation to argue, we can welcome them into our lives. We can help them to see our lives. Help them to see our fears, our struggles, our life issues, and how we deal with them with Christ. How do I deal with the same issues that they're dealing with without Christ? How do I deal with them? This is vulnerable and it's risky, but it allows them to see the power of the gospel at work in you. So it might be an area that you're struggling with and you actually confess to them, I have bitterness in my heart and God is really working on this area. And I am struggling to apply the gospel, but God has once me to change in this area. Invite them to see and to know and to recognize how God is at work in your life. Now, why don't we want to do that? Because sometimes we're not letting God work in our lives. We're fine. And we definitely don't want to expose that to our non-Christian friends. Here's a quote. You want me to tell you about Becky Pippert in her book, Out of the Salt Shaker, says this. Her friend who became a Christian said, you want me to know what attracted me most to Christ about you? And Becky's like, let me hear it. She goes, you screwed up. Becky's like, stop. You screwed up just like I did, but you knew where to go when you screwed up. And I didn't. And it made me curious. You knew where to go when you screwed up. And I didn't. And so we have these five habits that we need to build. We need to pray. We need to learn about them. We need to bond with them. We need to affirm them where they reflect the image of God. And then we need to welcome them into our lives, into our brokenness, into our jar of clay in which the all-surpassing power of God is at work. But sadly, Christians often shine their jar of clay. So it looks like a chrome bumper, and sinners only see their reflection of how they're not like us. But they never see the gospel that's inside. Because all they see reflected back at them is that they're not like us. But Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay, cracked pots, so that they can see the all-surpassing power of the gospel at work within us. And sometimes through our cracks and our brokenness and our sinfulness and our repentance and our need for the gospel, they actually see the power of the gospel at work. And they're drawn to Christ through the reality of our humanity. And they can recognize and see Christ. Well, let's pray. Father, I pray that we would build these relationships, that we would take this card and we would pray and ask, who are the people that we need to develop relationships with? Who have you placed in our life? Who do you want to place in our life? Whether it be our neighbor or our coworker, people close enough to us that maybe we're afraid to enter into this relationship. And then how do we begin to build trust with them? By learning and praying and bonding and affirming and welcoming. Father, would you use us, and in using us, may we know the fullness of Christ at work within us. And there may we find joy, having been used by you and your Holy Spirit to do a work that we could never do. And may we see miracles. People coming to faith in Christ. For I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.